Good afternoon.
Do I go? Hi, Doug. Alex Flanagan with the NFL Network.
Alex.
Right in front of you.
There you are. Bright lights.
So listen, okay, I'm going to ask you a football question right off the bat. So I'm coming from the Senior Bowl where I've been watching college kids try to learn the NFL game. And you seemingly have kind of flipped the script a little bit, and you're putting some of the college game into the NFL game, and that has afforded you success and brought you here in some ways. Tell me when, why, and how you started doing that.
Well, I think the when was a little bit in Kansas City with Alex Smith. And then coming here, you know, with Carson, obviously with his background coming from it in college, and Nick had been exposed to it under Chip Kelly, you know, in Philadelphia. And then just, you know, you're seeing some of these young kids come out of these systems in college. Now, I would say it's not all conducive to the National Football League. You know, you still have to line up under center. You still got to be able to run the football and do some different things that way. And it's a small part of our offense too. It's not the total package. And you know, finding that Nick's strengths are just that. You know, trying to limit the formations, limit the motions, limit the shifting. Try to just allow him to see the defense and execute the play. So it's been something that we've used in our offense the past couple of years.
Hey, Doug. You know, your opponent's commonly referred to as a dynasty right now. And how do you guys sort of embrace the underdog role while not taking the focus off yourselves and building them up too much?
Well, I mean, you know, our guys don't read into too much about what's written or said. Our guys just go about their business every single day. We know what we're faced against. We know the opponent we're going against. A lot of respect for them, obviously, and what they've done and what they've accomplished. And, you know, it's about what we do, you know, how our players handle this week and eliminate distractions and eliminate the noise and how well they prepare and get themselves ready to go.
Have you seen an increase in intensity and focus and performance from Fletcher Cox since the playoffs have begun? And does it sometimes take a bigger stage for a player of his ability and talent to realize that full potential?
Yeah, Fletcher's he's a dynamic player for us. One of our leaders. You know, he brings a level of play to our defensive line that sort of, you know, increases the talent a little bit. You know, around him, guys play hard, guys play fast. You know, and I think too during the regular season, You just kind of methodically going about your business, you know, during the regular season, and then you get closer to the playoffs, or if you have a team that, in our case, that had a chance to play in the postseason, guys begin to sort of, you know, hone in and focus in, and you know, the last couple of weeks we've had 3 D tackles up, so he's played more, and that's been a big part of his success, and they know that you've only got a couple weeks left in this season, and so they give everything they can, and he's one of the guys that's been doing that.
No. Doug, just wanted to take you way back over here. How did you end up at Northeast Louisiana and Cavalry Baptist, and do you still stay in touch, and what were the memories that you had of those places?
Well, how I ended up at Northeast Louisiana Monroe now, my father took a new job my senior year, and then after I graduated from high school from Washington State, we moved, and I enrolled, played my college football at Northeast you know, University, which is now Louisiana Monroe. And then ended up playing 14 years, you know, in the National Football League. And when I retired, had an opportunity to go to Calvary Baptist Academy in Shreveport, Louisiana, and coach high school ball for 4 years, which was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to and I had to find out at that point if I really wanted to get into coaching and teach and No better way than to teach a bunch of high school kids how to run, you know, a couple of NFL plays. And so I ended up there, and then 4 years later, I worked myself back into the National Football League under Coach Reed, and been here ever since.
Doug, over here. If I can take you back to 2000, you were quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Bill Belichick was in his first year coaching New England. You beat him on that day. Just wonder what your memories of that day were, and was that a highlight of your playing career?
Hey, it's one of them, and obviously we were struggling as a team in Cleveland that year, and we had a ton of injuries. I can remember that from that season, and a lot of starters on injured reserve, but that was a home game, and we battled. We hung in there and beat them in Cleveland. And, obviously at that time, you know, it was great for Cleveland and for myself and the organization. And at that time, too, back then, you know, Bill was kind of rolling and getting himself, you know, in these types of games here. It's definitely one of the milestones, you know, obviously in my career as a quarterback.
Doug, how will the practice schedule change this week, and will you practice in pads?
Well, the practice schedule, this week won't change from what we've done back in Philadelphia. We'll keep the same, keep the guys in the routine that we've been in the last several weeks, and haven't decided yet to go in pads yet. You know, we were in pads all of last week and had some really good practices, and it's about, you know, staying fresh and getting the guys ready, and I haven't decided that yet.
Hey, Doug. How far back?
There you go.
Back when you were first taking the job, what was the vision that Howie sold to you of how he wanted to build this roster, particularly with the quarterback? And then what do you think of the moves he's made over the last year or so, free agency, and then maybe getting some key guys like Alshon and Jernigan signed to new deals during the season?
Yeah, you know, 2 years ago, the plan was to acquire a quarterback. That was our first plan, you know, and we were able to do that in Carson. And we do have the quarterback of the future with the Eagles, obviously. And after that, it was about building the talent around him. And it's not just always offensive guys. It's also, you know, acquiring talent on defense. And this past spring, with Alshon and Torrey and then picking up LeGarrette and eventually Jay and think about the defensive side with Tim Jernigan and Patrick Robinson and these guys. I mean, it's that's what you got. You gotta do that. You gotta have those guys around your quarterback, along with the current players like Zach Ertz and Nelson Agholor and Trey Burton's and guys like that. So it was it's a plan. You know, it's still a work in progress. Obviously, you're still always trying to better yourself and better your team and get better each and every year. But these past couple of years have really been. I've really been positive, obviously, and it was a big success for where we are today.
Hey, Doug. Alex Marvez, SiriusXM and Sporting News. Good to talk to you. Two-part question about Trey Burton. First, what are the challenges in developing college players who come into the NFL as, quote, athletes, guys who may not have a set position? And also, what type of development have you seen from Trey himself in the 2 years you've had a chance to work with him?
Yeah, you know, Trey is a tremendous athlete, as we know. Of course, I wasn't here when he first arrived in Philly, but just utilizing his skill set, and the more you study Trey, and the more I was around him, you find out what he's capable of doing and handling, and just want to find ways to fit him into the system, and he's obviously been a big part of our three tight end package, and continues to a couple times this year when Zach Ertz was hurt, he was able to come in and perform extremely well, you know, and it's just and he's also a core teams player, you know, does a great job for Dave Phipp and what we do on special teams and a player that is valuable, you know, he's valuable because you can move him around a little bit on offense, and then obviously on special teams. So we got to continue to find ways to get him on the field.
Hey, Doug, what's your setup like at the University of Minnesota? And I know that your focus was to try to keep things as normal as possible. Once you've been here for a few days, how feasible is that?
The setup over there is really nice. University of Minnesota has done a great job for us in allowing us to use their facility. And so that's going to be a great place to practice and get our work done this week. And, you know, it's the week itself, I mean, you know, a lot of obligations. Guys get pulled in a lot of different directions. But as we really kind of begin the work week and focus in again on the football game, we can't lose sight of that either. There is a game at the end of the week, and you know, my job is to make sure that the guys stay mentally plugged in this week, and that's why the routine will remain the same. And, you know, we just adjust. We're flexible, and whatever we are asked to do, we do. But at the same time, we stay focused on task.
Coach, right here in front of you. In terms of where you are as a coach and as a person, what did those 4 years at Calvary mean to you?
Well, you know, number one, it gave me an opportunity to teach football and to coach and to see if that's what I wanted to do in my career as become a coach, and then obviously, and ultimately, it got me back into the National Football League with my relationship with Coach Reed and was able to get back to Philadelphia and quality control, and then eventually quarterback coach and then coordinator in Kansas City. And here we are. So it's kind of shaped me and kind of molded the way I think and the way I handle our business on a daily basis.
Doug, you guys have won 100-yard rushing game this year. A Super Bowl winner hadn't had a 100-yard rusher in about a decade. Is the game tipping more toward the pass than usual?
I think so. I think the way the rules are set up, I think it's become, you know, a little more of a pass league. But I'll tell you, the teams that have an opportunity to go to the postseason, play in the playoffs, whether it's AFC, NFC, they do have the ability to run the football and play great defense, obviously. And you can't shy away from that. You have to stay patient there and diligent there. And something we've been able to do all season long, and we've done it with a multitude of running backs, and hats off to those guys for how they handle their business. But it's something that we stay committed to.
Doug, your offensive coaches come from a variety of different schemes and systems and backgrounds. How does that exchanging of ideas work, and how important has that been to be able to adjust and make the scheme pretty flexible?
Well, that's one thing that I appreciate about the offensive staff is how well they collaborate and how well we talk and dialogue and game plan and make decisions during the week and fine tune things and tweak it. And, you know, I think you got to have some of that. You know, every offensive coach has a little bit of say in the game plan. Ultimately, Frank and I put the final touches on it and make every decision there. But I think we've gotten better each week in putting game plans together and trying to utilize our strengths offensively, the talent that we have and the different personnel groups and try to maximize everything we can out of our guys.
Hey, Doug, in the front here, Tim Fletcher, Shreveport Times and KWKH. How's it going, Doug?
It's good to see you.
Going back to that time when you were at Calvary and you got that phone call from Andy. You know, David Clyde made the move from big leagues, or from high school to the big leagues. That's a tough stretch, though. What was that conversation like, and how much convincing did he have to kind of lay on you to get you to take that gig?
Well, you know, I obviously enjoyed my time at Calvary. Don't get me wrong. It was a great, great experience for me and was able to see some kids go on and play collegiate football and get degrees and turn out to be, you know, fine young men and stay in touch with a lot of my players from back then, and for me it was just a great opportunity to get back into the National Football League and so there wasn't a lot of twisting of my arm. You know, it was a decision that I was ready to make and get back and and something that you know, my wife and I spoke about and talked about quite a bit, and all on board jumping back into the NFL, and because we knew we knew what it was going to be like. We knew the rigors of the league. We knew the commitment that it was going to take, a lot of time away from family, but at the same time, it was a great opportunity to get back in.
Hey, Doug. I know you guys are keeping the focus on yourselves, but you're going to be going head up with a very good coach and Bill Belichick. I'm wondering what the chess match is like as you're getting ready for this game and kind of the challenges of trying to anticipate what Belichick is going to bring on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously a challenge. You go up against a very smart coach, an intelligent coach. Coach is going to have his team, you know, well prepared, and you know, it's not just the X's and O's. It's the situational aspect of the game, you know, timeouts, fourth downs, red zone, you know, punt situations on fourth down, all kinds of things that we've seen from them that you know, I have to be prepared and talk to our staff and our players about, and you know, we just have to make sure that. That we're all focused, and it's a commitment to obviously to the team, to the organization, to stay on top of that, and try to anticipate the best you can, you know, and try to put your guys in the best possible scenario and situation on game day to expect certain things, and we just continue to prepare this week that way, but. It's all about the situations, and those are the things that we keep studying every day.
Doug, standing over to your left here, sorry. Jay Ajayi, how much did you know about him prior to him arriving, and were there any concerns about how he might fit into a locker room, given that Miami seemed to, you know, interested in moving on from him?
You know, I didn't know a ton about Jay, obviously, having just kind of watched him when he came out of college and as a runner. When he arrived, I mean, he and I had a conversation, and really, I just explained to him the environment, the locker room that he was joining, part of my messaging this year to our team and to our players is about ownership, and we're always looking to better our roster, obviously, and Jay's made us better. But, you know, our guys embraced him, and our guys have, said, listen, this is the way we practice. This is the way we do things. This is the way we try. And listen, we haven't had any problems out of Jay, and he's been awesome to work with. And, you know, he's part of that running back group that has been real successful for us this year. It's fun to watch him perform.
Two more questions.
Hey, Coach, right up front here. Could you take me through the timeline of when you became really started working with run pass options and why those work so well for Nick in your offense?
For me, with the run pass, started back in Kansas City when Alex Smith came to us from San Francisco. He had done that there, and you know, I hadn't really been exposed to it much in my career, even as a player. But it was something that we studied, and each year we sort of incorporated a little bit more into our offense, and then with Carson we kind of kept it going, and then I have Jeff Stoutland, offensive line coach that's been a part of that. You know, he was here with Chip, and so he understands it. Deuce Staley, the running back coach, and so we just continue to kind of adapt to our personnel and adapt to the type of players that we have. I'm big about not force feeding a certain scheme or play down anybody's throat, and I want to do what works, and we've been able to do that with our quarterbacks, and our team's embraced it, and we've had some success with it.
Hi, Doug. Obviously there's 1,000 steps between during the season to get here, but I was wondering if you could just talk about the impact of the Week 3 game against the Giants and what that meant for a young team to have that kind of a win. That sort of catapulted you on a long winning streak there.
Yeah, that was a huge win for our football team. We had just lost the week before at Kansas City, and You know, those games, we probably don't win those games a year ago. Last year we were 7-9, and our team finds ways to win those games. And we made a big throw and catch at the end of that, you know, in regulation to set that field goal up, and it just sort of ignited, you know, finish. We talk about finish as coaches. We always talk about finish, and we've been able to kind of do that all season. Find a way, you know, even with the amount of injuries that we've had, you know, guys, the team's just found a way, whatever it took, and that was a game that obviously got us going a little bit. We went on a nice run after that, and credit the guys for learning, you know, from the year before and overcoming some of those obstacles.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.